You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can be a part, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just PS working the board, jazzed as hell, our pal Earl Ingram, host of the Earl Ingram Show, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Earl, thanks for sticking around with me, man.
Hey, man, anytime. You just threw me for a loop. Do I actually do an 8 o'clock in the morning show?
You do the morning show, man. And I know you get up earlier than that, man. That's why I do not envy that line. We do have some news to get to and the callers you've held over. We will get to you briefly, but let's just recap the closing bell. The Wall Street Journal is reporting U.S. markets slid Thursday in their steepest declines since 2020, think COVID, as investors grappled with the threat that Trump's new tariff plan will trigger global retaliation and hurt the economy. Major stock indexes dropped as much as 6%. Stocks lost roughly $3 trillion in market value Thursday, their largest one-day decline since March of 2020.
Wow.
Yeah.
2020.
Now
you know, Dominic, man, that there is recessions coming.
I mean,
it's inevitable.
And this is the point, right? And we don't even know what the retaliation is going to be yet, right? This is just our end of it. When you know, Europe gets their ducks in a row and they throw, you know, that or more back at us and everybody else. And here we go. The yes. Trump slump is on, baby. That's what's happening. Now, and what I don't recall, and remember not so long ago, Earl, the election, all the inflation, the price of eggs, the price of this, the Biden inflation. I mean, that's what drove Donald Trump to the White House again. Donald Trump will fix it all. Well, I don't remember those folks who were complaining about the price of eggs thinking, well, I'm going to want Donald Trump to go lower the price of eggs and then totally redo the world economic structure in his way. And yes, we may have to put up with some short-term pain for long-term gain. And I'm thinking to myself, number one, how short is short-term? And in the long term, we're all dead. So what are we even talking about? Earl, it's moving the goalposts for the megas. You know, prices are too high. Well, these tariffs are going to cause higher prices. Yeah, but we're being cheated. Yeah, but the high prices are going to be higher. Yeah, but I'm willing to sacrifice a little bit of higher prices now for, you know, longer term, they'll be better. It'll be better in the long term. Yeah, but that's not what you voted for, and that's not what he sold you, man. Earl, it's like these folks, whatever the orange god says to them, they're like, yep, yep, yep.
You know, man, did you ever think we'd be longing for Joe Biden only 3 months? And then 3 months, Dominic. And what's coming down the pike? I just listened to you talking about what's happening with the stock market. And man, we know this is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We know it had been overvalued. To Joe Biden's credit, they kept holding this off. They kept doing everything within their power to make sure there wasn't a recession, Dominic. Can you imagine, man, a recession at this time?
At this time. And yeah,
the long-term damage that this is, they've been staving off the recession, Dominic. I mean, you know, 2007. So if it strikes, and when it strikes later on this year, can you imagine? Because they're talking about global recession, Dominic.
Yes, yes.
That he brought down.
That's amazing. It's like revisiting, you know, his last term in office. It wasn't great, especially how he himself personally handled the pandemic. It's not just, you know, a global recession, man. I mean, what we're talking about and what the Biden administration is trying to do is this, it was a soft landing, right? You want to have a soft landing. You know, we went through and we pumped in a lot of money. And, of course, that was part of the increases in costs.
But inflation.
Yeah, right. Part of the inflation. That was certainly so was profit taking. There was lots of opportunity. And we're going to see that with the tariffs because here's the deal. Here's the deal. If all of a sudden your imported widget is now 25% more and you can buy a similar widget here in the state in the States for 25% less, well, that's great for a minute. But you know what's going to happen? The folks that are making the domestic widgets, well, they'll be like, well, I'm going to raise my price because I can make more money versus what the import would be. So you're going to have a balancing. And then, as mentioned, you're going to have retaliatory tariffs as well. But if all of a sudden we see, you know, tariff wars back and forth, as we see the Trump slump as it's being described, and I'm going with that. We see that happening, and all of a sudden growth starts, you know, going down. The GDP slows down. Unemployment goes up. Inflation stays up. I mean, that stagflation, man, that's a bad scene to be in. We don't want to go there. What is our senior senator from the state of Wisconsin? We have some sound of Rojo. So here's Rojo from yesterday, and then we have a cut from Rojo today. Let's play yesterday, please, Jess.
Of course.
We will establish a minimum.
Sorry. That's not the one that I wanted.
That's not it.
It's not the one that I wanted.
So we don't have yesterday. So let's play today.
Let's play today, and then we'll go back to yesterday.
All right.
I'm concerned. The stock markets are concerned. I'm concerned.
You are concerned about the stock market?
Yeah, again, I don't have the president's strongly held belief that this is absolutely what has to be done. But he's president. I'm not. He ran on this. And, you know, I hope he's absolutely right.
And if he's not, then what happens next? What can Congress?
Again, that's hypothetical. Yeah. I'm hoping it all works out. I mean, early indications, you know, he's announcing trillions of dollars of committed investment here. Some countries have already eliminated their tariffs and dropped them. Mm-hmm. Let's see how it works out. It's just way too early to predict this.
He doesn't want to talk about hypotheticals, Earl, but he's really hopeful that the president knows what he's doing. I'm hopeful.
Hey, Dominic, let me ask you. You know, I'm not Justin or Donald Trump, but I do know. If they claim he just said all these trillions of dollars, they're bringing these corporations back to America. What are they going to do? Erect them with, what do you call those little plastic things?
Legos.
Yeah. How long does it take, man, to put a company? 5 years.
Yeah,
okay.
Years.
To build a manufacturing company, Dominic, you know, design, the land, you know, all of those different things. None of this is coming back in his time in office, Dominic. He's misleading people. Ron Johnson just said, well, there's going to be $6 billion in reinvestment. When? And how much damage is going to be done to the American people, Dominic,
right. Yeah.
if you ever see that? Don't forget, the same guys who talked about Foxconn, right? Eighth wonder of the world.
Right. There is a track
Never
record.
Happened.
There is a track record with some of these folks. And even if a company, you know, puts that kind of money in, what's the trickle-down effect? And how is that going to benefit this country? I mean, specifically, you're talking about making America rich, quote-unquote. Does America have a checking account? You know what I mean? I mean, how exactly does that work? We're talking because America is made up of individuals, and individuals make up, you know, corporations and unions and labor and all these different. It's made up of individuals. So I don't buy the premise that they're trying to sell us. Now there is some specific reaction to this. Warren, Michigan, WXYZ reporting, Stellantis has temporarily laid off 900 workers in the U.S., including employees at a Warren and Sterling Heights stamping plant. Now, I got family that works for Stellantis. Automaker announced the news in an email sent to all employees early this morning. They said that they'll be pausing production at the Windsor assembly plant in Canada for the next 2 weeks. And because of the pause, workers in Warren, Sterling Heights, Indiana, and Mexico are impacted. Quote, with the new automotive sector tariffs now in effect, it will take our collective resilience and discipline to push through this challenging time. But we will quickly adapt to these policy changes and protect our company, maintain our competitive edge, and continue delivering great products to our customers. But in the meantime, 900 folks are getting laid off. today.
So, Dominic, let me say this. I'm a guy who spent 34 years in the auto industry. Saw ups and downs, saw recessions. The first people to get impacted and affected by recessions are the home buyers, homes, and are two most expensive things that people buy.
Mm-hmm.
They're the first ones to get impacted by downturns in the economy. We haven't seen the damage yet, Dominic. These are signs. Again, for 34 years I was in the auto industry. I knew when recessions were coming. I know the pain of what those things are. They're the first to recover after coming out, but they're the first ones to be impacted and affected. So that 900 people you're talking about being laid off,
oh, sorry, broke you out there a little bit. All right, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We'll reconnect with Earl Ingram joining me today. Love it when Earl comes around. Check his show out Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., 855-752-4842. Let's get to some of our patient callers. Don from Milwaukee, you're up next. Welcome, Don. What do you got for us?
Hi, Dom. Is the topic tariffs? Because you got Earl Ingram there, and he's a real stickler for staying on topic. So I don't know.
Yeah, man. Yeah, come on. Let's talk about the tariffs, Don. You're fine. Go ahead. What do you got?
Okay. I just wanted to go. I would just wonder: is history repeating itself? You probably heard that term before.
Mm-hmm.
Back in that was before us guys were here. In 1929, 1930, something like that, there was something passed by Herbert Hoover. They called it the Smoot Tariff Acts. And guess what happened after that? Something worse than a recession. Did you ever hear of a depression? The banks were locked up. There were soup lines. You couldn't even buy a job. So anyhow, hopefully that doesn't happen. But I tell you, it don't look good right now. Thanks for taking my call, Don.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate it. We have a right to be concerned. I mean, certainly, you see the market react in the way that it did today, specifically to Donald Trump's actions from yesterday. Now you hear some of the righties and the Foxy don't call it news analysts saying, "Well, it's not as bad as it seems. We're just back to basically October of 24 levels." I'm thinking to myself, "Well, isn't it always? There's always a thing, right? Don't look at this. Don't look at." Prices are too high. I'm willing to pay a little more so we can, reshape the global economy because Donald Trump's got it all figured out. Well, the market seems to be telling Donald Trump that maybe he doesn't. Come back with us. More of your calls, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
To the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just PS on the board. Earl Ingram joining me today up until the 6 o'clock hour. Check his show out Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. Appreciate it, Earl. Got the phone lines jamming up. Let's get to them. Let's see. We have Cindy from Appleton. You will be next. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us?
Good morning. Well, you know what I told you this morning on your show, Earl, that they were going to blame Biden for this? Well, yes. I was on, I don't know, I got something sent to me with Sean Spicer. They were interviewing him about the tariffs, and he was talking about, yes, Trump has to initiate these tariffs. He has to cut Social Security because Joe Biden left us the biggest financial disaster in the history of our country. And yes, Americans are going to feel some pain, but once everything falls into place, America is going to become even greater and stronger than it's ever been. And I just about threw up.
Yeah, like what exactly does that mean? Thank you for the call, Cindy. I mean, am I going to get paid more? You know, what is that? You know what I'm saying, Earl? Hey, we're going to make so much money. Who's making the money?
Hey, Dominic, she mentioned the guy's name, Sean Spicer.
Spicy.
Wasn't he
Spicy
in a horror movie? Wasn't he, wasn't
was
he the monster in a horror? Oh, I know who he is. Yeah. I know. Hey, it's Sean Spicer. Come on.
Wasn't he the guy like killing the gum when he was at the podium?
Yeah.
And then he was also the guy that said, this is the same guy who said they had the biggest crowd in the history of presidential inaugurations ever.
Yeah.
So his credit. And didn't he go on like Dancing with the Stars
or something?
Something like that. Yeah.
Did
yeah.
He?
Yeah. Yeah, so
I don't know if
Sean Spicer's the guy that I'm going to for. No. Like, hey man, what do you think about this new global shakeup made by your boss? Oh, it's gonna be great.
Sean Spicer.
I want to dance. The pain. Hey, you guys ever remember the Rocky movies, man? The Rocky movies. Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the and by the time Rocky III got around, I think it was with Mr. T. Mr. T was asked about his prediction for the fight. I think this kind of is like, what's your prediction?
What's your prediction?
Prediction?
Yes, prediction.
Pain,
baby! Pain, that's the prediction. And we got it. We got it today. We got it today. And
that's
it's
pretty good, Jess.
And maybe, you know, losing, you know, 4 or 5% in a day isn't a big deal because you're in it for the long run. You invest in the long term. You don't let the market, let it ride, you know, the peaks and valleys. You don't try to pick your spots. Okay, but what if you're retired? And if you're lucky enough to have some money to draw down on, well, now you're drawing down on a declining asset. You know what I'm saying? You lost 4% today. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen in 2 weeks? Because the more you draw out, obviously you lower your asset, and then the value of that asset continues to decline based on these folks. And then if you're all retired and you're drawing on that, you're probably, I don't know, getting some Social Security and Medicare as well. And what are they doing there? Well, they're going to go after that as well.
You know, Dominic, I just happen to know a lot of people who don't have any stocks. And so the stock market is not their barometer for whether or not things are going to get worse. Sometimes it's my big toe is throbbing, right?
Right.
I mean, they really just, this is an arbiter of the pain that people who can least afford it are going to feel. It's always those marginalized. It's always those on the lowest rung. It's the single mother, Dominic, who has maybe one or two children, who's trying to make a go of it, and rent is way too high. And who counts on Feeding America and those kinds of places. And what are we doing to those people, man? We're pushing those people to the end of their line.
Yes.
Right? I mean, if I got some stocks, like you said, you're in it for the long haul, you lose some, but every dime you have is not in the market. And you know, bets are that you have a little money. That you get more money that you get that you can live off of.
Right.
But we're talking about the long-term impact of so many Americans, rural Americans, urban Americans. These are the people who are going to be devastated. Yes, portfolios are going to be hurt. But, man, people who live day by day, that's where the real damage is going to come. And they've taken away the safety net, Dominic. Right?
Yeah.
They're taking that away.
Yeah, they're doing their damnedest. And why? Why do we go through all of this? Let's always remind folks, this is happening because the Republicans and Donald Trump are trying to carve out a way to give extended tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires.
Yes.
That's why we're doing this. That's why we're having these conversations. That's why those folks, you know, the single mom with the two kids that are relying on some of these safety net programs, that's why they're going to be suffering more. And we, you know, you talk about the prices of rent and the car. Man, cars are already expensive. You know,
and
interest rates aren't, I mean, they're not as high as they used to be or as they could be, but they certainly aren't as low as they used to be. So financing and getting a new car is expensive, man. And now they're going to, what, arbitrarily throw on 25% tariffs on cars coming in? Okay, congratulations. You're even if you can find a $20,000, $30,000 new car, good luck, because now it just went up 25%.
You know, Dominic, Donald Trump said, it's as easy as they'll buy American cars then. They'll be forced to buy American cars. Well, guess what, man? The parts for those it's not the way it was in my day, Dominic, when I was in the auto industry, where everything was made in America. That's long since passed, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, and some would argue that one of the reasons that the global trade has made America more competitive, because if you have protected markets and do you really care? Does it really matter if everyone's going to buy your product anyway? Are you lean and mean? Is your quality up? Is your service up? You know what I'm saying? Are you making good vehicles, or are you just pumping it out to make the money? Because you know what? Everyone else is blocked out of the market. Are we going to go back to that? Fat and lazy corporations? I mean, there's history we can look back on and see, hey, what happened then? How did this affect real people's lives? And when you have a president of the United States standing in the Oval Office and lying to people about how history actually happened, man, I mean, it is the full-on embrace of willful ignorance. And the guy's going golfing now, so... Come back with us, folks. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. More of your calls, I promise, on the other side. Welcome to the end of the road. This is a playtown. We've got nowhere else to go. It's not much, but this is home. And there's no way else to go. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. No, I'm just kidding. Every time I hear their music, I know it's the Earl Ingram Show. Earl Ingram joining me until 6 o'clock today. Thank you so much, Earl. Always a pleasure to catch up. Jess P.S. working hard on the board. You folks on the line, 855-752-4842. Talking about the tariffs. And I want to throw this one out there before we get back to the callers. And we have some sound of U.S. Senator Rand Paul, some Republicans in the Senate, trying to push back, at least as it pertains to tariffs with Canada. We'll get to that as well. But I heard Donald Trump today, and we didn't play the sound because you know how Trump talks in front of the freaking helicopter all the time. It's terrible sound.
Yes.
But he's like, he literally said, "It's the markets are going to boom. It's going to be great. The rest of the world are wondering if there's any way that the rest of the world, if they can make a deal. Make a deal." I'm thinking, make a deal? Because it goes exactly against what my understanding is, that there are now, the tariffs are not up for negotiation. According to the Washington Post, White House officials have circulated internal talking points telling surrogates that Donald Trump's new global tariff regime should not be characterized as a starting point for negotiations. They're literally passing this thing around inside the White House saying this is not about negotiations. Trump's out there today saying the rest of the world's wondering if they can make a deal. Well, making a deal seems like a lot to me, like negotiating for something. Earl, you know what I'm saying? I mean, is it possible the guy's just, he's an old, crazy old man that doesn't remember what he said last time around, and he's having this influence on our global markets, man. It can't be both things, Earl.
Well, so let me ask you, because it wasn't so long ago that I heard people say, the Democrats knew that Joe Biden was having some issues. They knew it. Hey man, you think there's anybody on the Republican side of things who are listening to this man and saying, hey, if he ever had some cognitive ability, he certainly doesn't have it now.
It certainly seems a little diminished.
No. Man,
well, it's not consistent, man. I mean, if the reporting's true, there's internal memo saying this is not negotiation. He goes out and says, hey, we're looking for deals. I mean, those things, they're contrary, man. I mean, that's just the reality. Now, there is some folks pushing back. Apparently, Senator Rand Paul is pushing back a bit. Let's hear what Senator Paul had to say.
The president's imposition of tariffs against Canada that will be a costly tax increase on American families. If the president has concerns about trade issues with Canada, guess what? This president negotiated a signature trade deal, the USMCA, that got 89 bipartisan votes in this chamber, and he has a negotiating process to find a resolution to any issue he cares about. The imposition of tariffs does nothing more than put a tax on American families.
This is a tax, plain and simple. Taxes should not be enacted by one person. So I will vote today to end the emergency. I will vote today to try to reclaim the power of taxation, the power of the tariff, to where the Constitution designated it should properly be, and that is in Congress.
You can say what you want about Senator Rand Paul. He's right on one thing. A tariff is a tax, and a tax is an increase. And increasing the price of a product, the last thing I learned when I was in grad school, Earl, was that that's inflationary, not deflationary, when you raise the price of something.
Well, you know, Dominic, I never went to grad school. But even I know. Right? Come on, man. Come on, man. That's elementary, Dominic. Right? I mean, yeah. Really. You know, people are going to be at wit's end, because especially where these things are going to impact. Well, many people shop at Walmart, man. Walmart is, you know, a godsend for people who struggle every day. The things that are in Walmart, Dominic, are generally, you know, a few steps higher than the dollar store. But the truth of the matter is the impact of all those things that are in Walmart that come from China and other places, Dominic, they're gonna go through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming.
That's coming. And those folks that go to places like Walmart because of the less expensive goods are going to see, you know, 10, 20%. I mean, it's going to flow through, because those tariffs aren't going to be absorbed by Walmart. They're not going to be absorbed by the importer. They're not going to be absorbed by the manufacturing. Those people that bring them in, they're going to pass it along, man, because everyone's working on a margin. And you want to keep your margin the same. The only way to keep the bottom line is the same, to increase your price. Man, that's what, I mean, Donald Trump should know this. And those folks and people like Senator Rand Paul, Republican, who, they know this. This is an increase in the price of goods. That is not why the people elected Donald Trump. And it just amazes me that the megas are just falling all over themselves to try to continue to move the goalposts as to what the point is of all of, oh, that's right, that's right. What is the point, Earl? The point is so we can carve out $4.5 trillion in tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires.
You know, Dominic, where are Ron Paul's colleagues? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Ron Paul is a guy who supported Donald Trump, but in this instance, he know this is too egregious and too damaging to his constituents and other people, that even though he supported Donald Trump, knowing and basically gave him carte blanche, it's about three or four of them who just know, man, this is too egregious, man. Right? It's too egregious.
Yeah.
They can't stand with that, man. Come on, man.
Well,
women and children. Come on, man.
Well, and Grand Paul's from Kentucky, and you know Kentucky bourbon.
I know, man.
And Canada loves themselves some Kentucky bourbon, and they're whipping that, they're pulling that stuff off the shelves, man. And so there's going to be real. And I don't know that Rand Paul, and I'm assuming he's doing this out of the concern for his constituents, because, you know, Rand Paul's not going to worry about paying the rent, you know? But when your constituents all of a sudden start hammering you down, and they're not just woke agitators, you know, paid for by George Soros. These are people in your neighborhoods, man, that are going, dude, what is happening? We can't sell this to Canada now because Trump's mad at them for some reason, when Trump's the guy that negotiated the deal on the last way around? I mean, if I were Trump, I'd put the guy, last person who negotiated the NAFTA to the USMCA, whoever did that should be put in prison. That's what I would do.
Hey Dominic, let me bounce this off of you.
All right.
You know who's conspicuously absent? We haven't seen Trump's children at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not Dunn, not the other guy, not his daughter, not... You know, those, they learned their lesson, man. Stay away. I don't know what they're doing behind the scenes,
oh,
Dominic,
man.
But have you
they
noticed?
They got the U-Haul backed up to Fort Knox, baby.
I know.
You know what I mean? They're busy.
I know.
Is there any gold left in Fort Knox after Trump got done?
Isn't he the one who said that he was going to go down there to check because someone took all the gold?
Yeah. We haven't heard that. We got some callers there. Let's get to them. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Ollie from the Northwoods, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Oh, my gosh. Where to start?
Right. It's a lot, Ollie.
How about if we start where Trump says this is just like a surgery. The patient had surgery, and he's alive, and prognosis is good. Well, my question is, what kind of surgery did he have? Partial lobotomy? That the prognosis is good? Looking at the way the country is today? And I also, you know, want to say that when you talk about opening factories back up, those new factories that are going to be built and opened back up, they're going to be run by AI robotics. They're not going to be giving billions of people jobs. That's just not the way it's going to be. And we'd be foolish to think otherwise. And I have for Earl, I'd like to say my barometer is not my big toe and not the Wall Street, but my barometer is whether or not I can afford my medicine and whether or not I can afford food. And I know that these tariffs are going to hurt the drug industry because we get a lot of medications from other countries.
Great point, Ollie.
And how much is enough? How much is enough for Musk to have enough to put himself, President Trump, and all the other billionaires in a spaceship and head off to Mars?
Thank you for the call, Ollie. Appreciate it. Earl, your thoughts?
You know, man, you felt the pain in Ollie towards the end of it, when she talked about the medication and food, because that's real, man. That's real pain that people are going to be feeling that didn't have to feel it, right? Mm-hmm. And especially when you kept hearing people talking about the pain that Joe Biden caused. And what Joe Biden did do, man, is he certainly put safety nets there, and he had compassion for people, man. You know, he truly did. And here it is. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, yeah, I remember George Bush Jr. He said, do you miss me now? Well, Joe Biden should steal that line.
Yeah, right.
And the Democrats, do you miss us now?
855-752-4842. Thank you, Ollie. Good point. The comparison to what's happening right now at a surgery could be, I don't know, they took off the wrong limb. You know what I mean? Like, all right, congratulations. You're out of surgery, but they took the wrong leg.
We had a torn muscle. So instead of going in and repairing the muscle, we're just chopping off the leg.
Forget about it. And hopefully you get out without a staph infection. You know what I mean? And for real, you know, I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy, Ollie. 855-752-4842. Karina from Milwaukee, you will be next. Welcome, Karina. What do you got today?
Hello, gentlemen. You know what? First of all, I want to say thank you so much to Civic Media and to you, gentlemen, because you have such a nice group of people. Earl, with his, life experience and his views and culture, and bring a really good point. And Dom, with your culture and with your knowledge and experiences, and everybody else, Megan Dawn, everybody else, Todd is amazing. So when you see such a group of people who coming from the different sides of the society, at different sides of their life, you can see that it what's happening in the country does reflect everywhere. It doesn't matter who your what your specialty in that life, what is your profession, what you're dedicated, what you like, what your habits are. It reflects and it hits everybody. And also, I'm really disappointed about all the waters ID, because I do work in the healthcare, and I know that tariffs are horrible, but the waters ID, I so many old people. There's so many disabled. There's so many people in the group homes and the nursing homes. This is on purpose. So those people will not going to have an ability to work, because yeah, nobody is going to take them to the DMV. Nobody. And besides the point, if you have...
Sorry, Karina, keep breaking up on us there. A great point on the voter ID. Stick around. We got some news for you in the next segment. Let's squeeze in Richard from Waukesha. I can give you 45 seconds. Richard, thanks for your patience. What do you got?
All you guys are saying is correct, and there's some kind of forensic evidence out of this book I ran into about Trump and the people around him. Mm. And his name is Tim Miller. He was the... communications director for Jeb Bush's campaign, and he is not happy, and he wrote this book, and it just puts this right on. He's got all the groups divided of the party.
Yeah. All right, man, we'll check it out. We know there is a vast right-wing conspiracy. Hey, come back with us, 855-752-4842, final segment of the day.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Being legendary over here all the time. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Earl Ingram joining us for the last segment of the day. Earl, thank you, as always, for joining us, man. We do have some news we want to share with the audience. I think, Jess, you want to go first?
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's just make the producer go first. Make me do it. Yeah. Sure, Dom. Yeah. All right, y'all.
Y'all.
It's been a good run.
It has been a good run.
On Monday, we've got a new adventure starting.
A new adventure on Monday?
New adventure on Monday, a new chapter.
Another chapter. Another book?
Another book, yeah. You know, normally when you give notice, it's just your supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot harder when there's so many supervisors.
Right.
Civic Media, I've really appreciated all of you. And tomorrow's my last day.
Jess, you know, there's never been a Dom Salvia show without Jess P.S.
That is entirely true.
And in that same vein, and thank you for everything, for real. We'll be back on tomorrow, but I will also be leaving Civic Media. Tomorrow will be our mutual last show, together.
Yeah.
So we're gonna wrap it up tomorrow. And we're going to celebrate our audience. It'll be a celebration of life.
It's the last show. So just as we do the last segment of every day, tell us something good.
Tell us something good. That's right.
It's going to be a full day.
A full day of telling us something good. So you heard that, folks, right? And tomorrow we will get into it. We're going to take callers all day. We'll answer any questions you may have. I mean, Earl, going on 14 years in doing radio, man, you know we got some stories. And I'll try not to tell too many about you, my friend. But I want to thank you as well, always, man, coming around. We've been doing this together in different ways and formats for a long time. Hell, I used to produce Earl back in the day.
You know, Dominic, I want to begin by saying when I met Jess and when you first wound up kind of doing the show, alone, and there was a week there before you actually came on, and I got to meet Jess, and you know, we got to kind of do a little radio together for those 3 or 4 days or whatever it was. But Jess, it was great getting to know you. You know, you're great at what you do. You got success written all over you. So, you know, it's the beginning for you and not the end.
Absolutely.
You know, Dominic, what can I say, man? You know, you and I, the only thing I can say that's for certain is that our paths are going to cross again because we live in the same city.
That's right, man.
And so it's just a phone call away, man. But, you know, people are going to miss you, man. You know, I mean, you know, the thing about radio is nobody ever said you'll be there until death do you part.
Right.
Yeah, I know there's an end time for me on the air. And so, you know, people come, people go, but the listening audience is always there, and there'll always be somebody else. So, man, I hate to see both you guys go, but I've been around long enough to know, you know, nothing lasts forever.
Yeah, thank you, Earl. Appreciate
except
that.
For friendship.
Except yes, for friendship. Absolutely. And that's, you know, it's so true. You know, the fun that we've had, and you know, just working with you and Earl, have known you for a long time, and everybody and the audience. You know, come on, folks. I mean, I got a lot of your numbers in my cell phone. They don't just get sucked into it, man. I mean, we hang out. I get the numbers, and we have a good time. And you know, I've said goodbye a couple of times on the radio, man. So I'm not concerned about it. I'll be fine. Jess will be fine. We're all going to move on. You know, Civic Media is fine. This isn't a terrible departure. Certainly wish it could have worked out differently. Didn't. But the fact alone that we're still doing this and we're announcing the fact that we're doing this, and this has been, I mean, for me, and I don't know for you, just I want to speak for you, but this has been like a long Wisconsin goodbye for me.
Indeed.
You know what I mean? This has been going on for some time, and like I said, it's unfortunate we have to get to this point and it didn't work out the way we'd hoped it would have, but that's fine, man. There's other people going to say the things and do the things. I'll still be a fan and still be listening, supporting what Civic Media's mission is here. Just won't be with my voice, so you're going to have to get some other folks in here. 855-752-4842. L.A. Tom, you will have the last word today. Welcome, Tom. What do you got?
Oh, man, Dominic. All I know is that I've seen you grow from being a libertarian to actually being a Bernie-type supporter, and it's going to be a really, really tough thing to see you not on the radio anymore.
Thanks, man.
I would like to say, though, that everyone needs to realize that everything Trump touches dies or is bankrupt. It's just the way it is. And I wish to hell he had a stutter, because if he did, maybe then people would really start seeing the more cognitive decline that he had than Joe Biden ever had. Joe Biden did not have a cognitive issue. He had a speech impediment. And as he got older, that got worse. But Joe Biden knew how to take over a Congress. He knew how to do things, to get things done, and everything Trump touches
dies. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it, as always. Folks, come back with us tomorrow. We'll have more conversations. We're going to spill all the beans and have all the fun, kick all the ass, and take all the names. Thank you, Earl Ingram, for joining me once again. Always a blast, my friend. Check his show out Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Jess P.S. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you to our fair audience. Now stick around. Pete Schwab of the Nightlight is coming up next. Have a great night.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.